Upper Room Frisco podcast. To learn more about UR Frisco, please visit upperroomfrisco.com.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I've known I was going to come preach here for several weeks now, and I had some things like in my own heart, oh, I'd like to talk about this, or I'd like to talk about this, but I heard the Lord so clearly say to me, I want you to talk about the centrality of Christ. I'm like, well, that sounds like a fancy phrase, Lord, the centrality of Christ. But I heard it so clearly from the Holy Spirit, and so I'm going to be reading a lot of scripture with you today and letting it speak for itself as the sword that it is. And so I hope you will join me. You are going to probably want to have your Bible. But before we do that, let's pray. Can we do that? Lord. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much. Oh, for setting me free from myself, Lord. And Lord, I pray that my testimony would go and bear fruit today, Jesus. That it would be the spirit of prophecy in this room. Lord, for kids who are broken, for teenagers who are broken, for marriages who are rocky, for people who are embittered, hard-hearted, hopeless. I pray, Lord, that even my simple story would go forth as a spirit of prophecy and plant seeds of hope and redemption inside hearts, God. I thank you that you truly do make all things new. You make all things new, and Jesus, you do the impossible still today. You still do the impossible, and you still shed your blood for people who hate you and have no interest in you, Jesus. Thank you that your blood is still speaking a better word over all of us who chose our own way and were lost, and you found us. So I honor you today, Lord, and I pray that you would pour out your spirit upon your word. Rest upon your word today, Jesus. Amen. In the past, I guess we've been at Upper Room now for almost 14 years. And in the past 14 years, something that I have learned sometimes the very hard way is that when life hits the fan, if someone doesn't have the substance of Christ, if all they have is a good community, like a nice family feel, or spiritual tools, or spiritual warfare, or great worship style, or great worship experience, or a cool youth group, or a tight-knit small group, if that's all they have, they won't live through the hard stuff. And it's caused me in moments, you know, when someone dies, or when someone is unfaithful, or when someone loses a child, or when someone murders someone, or when someone goes to prison, or when someone's stealing money, or when someone lived a double life, or when someone was abusing someone, when that kind of stuff comes up in people's lives, and I'm learning that, like, that does come up. I want to reflect back, and whatever measure I had to give, I want to know that I've given them Christ. I've given them the only one who's true food and true drink. And I think sometimes we get fooled. The enemy fools us into thinking like, oh, this is a culture. This is our culture. We dance up here, and we flow in worship. We don't sing, you know. Or this is our culture, that we have a very family, warm feel. And we love all those things, and those all come from Him. But that's the key, is that they come from Him. And that this isn't a social club. This isn't, ain't no friend group. Like, I don't know about you, but like, we probably don't have a whole lot in common. Tell me your name again. Jeff. Like, Jeff and I probably don't like to cook the same food or watch the same shows or read the same books or travel. Like, what do we have in common? We have everything in common because we have Him who is our head, Him who died for us. And I felt the Lord sober tell me, I want to encourage you, Uproom Frisco, it's Him. He is the tie that binds. He's the reason why you're here. He is the head. And we have to hold fast. We've been called to hold fast to the head, not to Upper Room, not to Jeremy and Ashley, not to Alexis or Cheryl and Casey, but to Him who is the head. Are you guys following me? I just felt Him with His, it's like a sword. And so I just want to read some scripture. Help me, Lord. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, he said, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ, which is everything, and Him crucified." I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I want to read a big chunk of Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11. It says, "And He Himself," can you all see that? Meaning Jesus. "He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of" who? "Of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, from which the whole body," that includes everybody listed in verse 11, "the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Oh, Jesus, be our head. Be our head. Be the head of this body. Lord, be the one. You know, My hand is holding this microphone because something in my head is telling it to hang on to it. My hand doesn't know how to do this on its own. Are you following me? I'm standing because something in my mind is telling my feet and my legs and my back to hold upright. In other words, the hand doesn't get to decide what the hand does. The head does. The head does. And we've been called to grow up into the head who is Christ. And I felt like the Lord said, even as you launch into your prayer sets this week, this is what they're about. This is what your children's ministry is about. It's from him. It's to him. It's not about some cool formula we've created for worship or encountering God. It's not about encounters. It's about Jesus. It's not about prayer or a house of prayer. The house of prayer is about, it's about Jesus. And he's not complicated, and he's so readily available. How great is that? I want to ask you parents, like, don't give your children tradition or religion or a way of life. Give them him. True food and true drink. I want to read Colossians 1. Verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him, all things were created. By who? By who were all things created? By him. By the Son. By him, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or power. All things. I want you to just like, can you close your eyes for a minute? All things were created through him and for him. And Lord, you are before all things, and in you all things consist, and you are the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things you have the preeminence. Your home, your car, your bank account, your food, your toes, all your parts were created through him and for him. There is none of you that was created for you. And true delight and joy comes when it's rendered back to him by a free will. When it's brought back to him with a free will. This building, it was created through him and it's for him. This keyboard was created through him. It's for him. Rafi's amazing voice was created through the Son of God and is for the Son of God. Can I just keep reading? Is that okay? Now you can go to Hebrews chapter 1. I was like, Lord, don't you want to give me like a good story, God, or 3 points or an analogy? And he said, is my word not enough, Larissa? I said, I'm sorry. It is more than enough. Hebrews 1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. There is no Old Testament prophet that has a better word than this one. Verse 2, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom the Father has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Wait a minute. So there's invisible things floating through the air right now that you are breathing in and breathing out to keep you alive. Your heart right now is beating, whether you are cognizant of it or not. And the Son of God sits enthroned, upholding all these things by the word of his power. Your breath belongs to him. Your lungs belong to him. Your beating heart belongs to him. The blood pumping through your veins belongs to Jesus Christ. And the more you let go, and the more you surrender to that revelation, the more free, the more joyful, the more peaceful, the more empowered life you will live. This is not principles for a great life. He is your great life. He is. Not a good YouTube moment or like a course on, listen, all these things have their place. He just has to be first. It has to come. He has to have preeminence. A great marriage course is great as long as he has preeminence. A great parenting course, great. A great prayer set, a great worship set, a great whatever. Awesome if he has preeminence, if it came from him and is unto him. Otherwise, it's one of those things we'll get burned up on that day. Where was I? Upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now go to Revelation. I like to tell him, Jesus, you are my reason and my reward. You are my reason and my reward. He is Revelation 1, verse 4. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. He's the firstborn from the dead, and he is ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Look at verse 17. Now John seeing him, and he falls at his feet as though dead. And Jesus says to him, do not be afraid. Remember me, John? You used to lay your head on my chest, but now I'm glorified. And I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. He's your Alpha and your Omega. He's your true food and true drink. He is the bread of life. He's the overseer and the shepherd of your soul. He is the beginning and the end. He is the head of this body. You know, I love how it feels so family in here, but we are a family because we have the same name that the Father has given us. We are not family outside of the name that the Father has given us to be called family under. We don't want to idolize spiritual family. We want to idolize Jesus. Do you see the difference? It's subtle, but on the days when everything is stripped away, He is what you want to have left. We're family because we're called Upper Room. I'm not unified and one with you because we're Upper Room. I'm unified and one with you because we are in Christ. He is the power of God and the wisdom of God. We're being built together as a spiritual house. Not because we're a cool spiritual house, but a house for Him, built on the cornerstone that is Jesus Christ. He's knowable. He's knowable. He has things that He is and things that He isn't. He isn't who somebody says He is. He is who He says that He is. His view of your life is absolute. He has things He has to say that are yes and that are no. He has directions for your life. He has things that are acceptable and things that are not. He is the Son of God, and He is Lord, Savior, and Master. I felt to read these. I think this is because of the age that we're living in, that it's important that we're aware of these things. But I'm gonna go through some different scriptures that where people were deceived. People were deceived and they lost sight of the head. I know this is weighty and it is what it is. Okay, Acts chapter 20, verse 30. This is Paul, so concerned. He says, men will rise up, even from your own number, and distort the truth to lure the disciples into following them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for 3 years, I never stopped warning each one of you with tears. Romans 16, verse 17. Now I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who create divisions and obstacles contrary to the teaching that you learned. Avoid them, because such people do not serve our Lord Christ but their own appetites. They deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting with smooth talk and flattering words. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I fear that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your minds may be seduced from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if a person comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we did not preach, or you receive a different spirit which you had not received, or a different gospel which you had not accepted, you put up with it splendidly. Help us, Lord. Galatians 1. Verse 6. I am amazed that you're so quickly turning away from him who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are troubling you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Colossians 2, verse 4. I am saying this so that no one will deceive you with arguments that sound reasonable. For I may be absent in body, but I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see how well ordered you are in the strength of your faith in Christ. So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in him, being rooted and built up in him, established in the faith just as you were taught, and overflowing with gratitude. Be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit based on human tradition, based on the elements of the world rather than Christ. I know, I'm just going to keep going. 2 Timothy 4. This one really got me. For the time will come, 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own what does it say? How many of you have felt this? According to your own desires, because you have itching ears, you will heap up for yourselves. This one's, mine says, you will multiply teachers for yourself because you have an itch to hear what you want to hear. Wow, how many times have you like scoured YouTube or podcast for a teaching that was what you wanted to hear? Hebrews 13, verse 9. Don't be led astray by various kinds of strange teachings, for it's good for the heart to be established by grace and not by food regulations. Y'all coming at me with all your gluten-free. Since those... I'm just kidding. But it is true that cultural Christianity is like, well, we all have our farm-raised eggs, and that's holy. No, Christ is holy, not your farm-raised eggs. Eat an egg. It's fine. It's eat Jesus and worry about your eggs to yourself. Okay. I'm not hitting on a certain person. I'm just saying we can't elevate cultural things that aren't him. It's Christ and Christ alone. It's good for your heart to be established by grace and not by all your stuff, your raw milk and your, great, do it. But like, I just bought whole milk from Kroger and I'm doing fine. Like, Jesus can convict me, okay? It's just, there's things that are cultural, and this is not. And anyway, sorry. You women know. We all know what we're talking about here. 2 Peter 2. That's not the gospel. Christ and Christ crucified is the gospel. Woo! 2 Peter 2. Y'all, I like healthy things, okay? I had kale yesterday. It's fine. now I'm hot. Okay. 2 Peter 2, verse 1. There were indeed false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, and will bring swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved ways, and the way of truth will be maligned because of them. They will exploit you in their greed with made-up stories. Their condemnation pronounced long ago is not idle, and their destruction does not sleep. I feel like the word of God is true. It's like food. And it divides, it's dividing between soul and spirit. And we need to eat it. We need to hear it. We need to be strengthened by grace. And we need to serve each other Christ. In our marriages, we need to serve each other Christ. In our friendships, we need to serve each other Christ. Okay, I'm on the last one, Colossians 2, verse 16. Here we go again with food and drink. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Oh, Jesus, I pray right now by your Spirit that you would begin to cut off everything in our hearts and minds that has exalted itself above the knowledge of who you are. Lord, I pray that this community would be known for you, Jesus, that you would be the center of all that this place does. Lord, when they launch into prayer tomorrow, that the Lamb would take his place in the center of the throne, that it wouldn't be about a vision or somebody's cool, whatever, we would be just about you, Jesus, and everything wonderful that we love all these things, Lord, but it's come from you. It's because you created it and you uphold it by the word of your power and you release your goodness over us. But Lord, let us not be like those 9 lepers who forgot to come back and say it was from you. It wasn't just some good idea that I had or a cool group of people I was with. It was you, Jesus. Be the head of this body. Be the head of this youth group. Be the head of these children's classrooms. Be the head of every marriage in this room, Jesus. I pray that just the fullness of your grace and truth would be released over us in a fresh way. I have this really cool and kind of quirky book that I wanted to read a little prose out of for you. Can I do that? I've already done lots of strange things, so I'll just continue. This is by John Newton. It's called Joy in the Presence of Jesus. How, you know what, Justice, do you mind coming up? How tedious and tasteless the hours when Jesus no longer I see. Sweet prospects, sweet birds, and sweet flowers have all lost their sweetness to me. The midsummer sun shines but dim. The fields strive in vain to look gay. But when I am happy in him, December's as pleasant as May. His name yields the richest perfume, and sweeter than music, his voice. His presence disperses my gloom and makes all within me rejoice. I should, were he always thus nigh, having nothing to wish or to fear, no mortal so happy as I, my summer would last all the year. Content with beholding his face, my all to his pleasure resigned. No changes of season or place would make any change in my mind. While blessed with a sense of his love, a palace, a toy would appear, and prisons would palaces prove if Jesus would dwell with me there. My Lord, if indeed I am thine, if thou art my sun and my song, say, why do I languish and pine? And why are my winters so long? Oh, drive these dark clouds from the sky. Thy soul cheering presence restore. Or take me to thee up on high, where winter and clouds are no more. You can stand up. Jesus, you guys feel free to come up, do whatever you feel like you should do. Lord, you are the Alpha and the Omega. You have ripped the veil, and that's why you have the name above all names. And that's why you have won our hearts, King of Love. And that's why nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Oh Lord, let us be known for your name, for your love. Let us be known for making much of your blood, Jesus. I'm just remembering people that have shown up on our doorstep or in our office, and the pain that they're facing, the sin that has knocked on their door or fallen in front of them, the sin that took their children or destroyed their marriage, or the disease. I'm just reminded that in those situations, Jesus, I have nothing to give but you. And you are everything. And so, Lord, I just feel today, I just felt today, you know, the weekend that news came out about everything that's happened at IHOP, we had, divinely, there were people already planning to come to our home that were closely touched by that situation. And I remember sitting at our table and telling them, we have got to put the blood and body of Jesus between ourselves and this thing. Because there is nothing else, no great method, no counselor, no wisdom, no human philosophy that can heal what is so dark and broken. We have nothing to say besides Christ and Christ crucified. What else is there? So I just want to invite you, if you have something that's like, man, I can't, there's nothing, there's nowhere to put this. This disease, this sin, this offense, this thing that has hurt me, this problem that I'm facing. I just want to invite you to come up. And I know we already took communion, but I just want us to apply the blood and body of the perfect Son of God. So if that's you, just this altar, just we'll just make this an altar up here to the Lord. Jesus, you are true food and true drink. There is no other way to the Father than through you. You are the bread of life. You are the beginning and the end. You've defeated death and sin. You are the source of this body. are the reason and the reward. You hold all things together today. Let's just worship him. Let's just worship him. Things that are too big, Lord. Things that I've talked around. Jesus, come and take your rightful headship, Lord, in our lives. Be master. Be Lord. Let the fear of the Lord come. Let us delight in the fear of the Lord. Let all humanistic ideas be washed in your blood now, Lord. Things that have provided false hope to leave. In Jesus' name, we repent for finding hope in human philosophy, Lord. You are our hope. You are the anchor for our souls. We give you glory.
You are the anchor for our souls.
We give you glory. We give you honor.
The anchor for our souls.
Jesus, you are our hope.